Hey, what do you know? We're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Negler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Monday afternoon, June 1st, 2020. Very overwrought and sensitive time in our country. What better time to get together and talk some Packers and get your mind off of everything for a while. Salut. Happy Monday. Hope everyone's doing well. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Yeah, sure, you guys can help name the dog. Working title right now, working title for the name is Invisible, or Non-Existent, or don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I'm open to suggestions, whatever you want. Good to see you. Brandy Lewis is here. What's up, Brandy? Since we last jawed, the news came out that Lane Taylor has taken a pay cut, restructure, if you will. An interesting part about it is there are per game bonuses tied into his being on the active roster. You got to think that foments a little competition at the right guard spot. It gives him incentive, obviously, to try and earn that money. But I do wonder if, say, Lane Taylor beats out Billy Turner. I know Turner's contract makes cutting him outright pretty prohibitive. But if you look at the post June 1st designation on a trade, the Packers only take about a two-something million cap hit if they end up trading him. Now, who's going to trade for Billy Turner? I don't know. But it is interesting to see that there's a possibility there where if Lane Taylor reclaims a starting spot, that there is some maneuverability when it comes to Billy Turner. Because I know people have said that his contract makes it impossible to cut him, which I think, you know, isn't strictly true because you can cut anybody, but it does make it pretty damn cost prohibitive to have that carry that dead money. I think the dead money somewhere around $7 million or so if they straight up cut him. But a trade opens up that possibility. Thoughts on Jamal Williams route running this offseason? Andrew is very impressive on the video clips that we've seen. Now, obviously, he's always been a reliable receiver out of the backfield, but those cuts he's making on those videos certainly look a little bit more fluid, a little bit more explosive. Certainly looks to be something he's been working on. And you got to say that makes a world of sense given how much they have and continue will probably try to evolve the running back position as a pass catching position in this offense. So, yeah, excited. Very excited. Nags, in your opinion, would the 96 or 97 Packers beat the 98 Vikings, 99 Rams, 07 Pats, 13 Broncos? Whoo, that's a list. I mean, I think they'd give them all a game, no doubt about it. I think the those Vikings teams were damn good. I do think the 96 Packers would probably be up to that Pepsi challenge on any one of those teams. The 97 Packers, not so much. Not so sure. I think the loss of Keith Jackson hurt them on offense. I'm not so sure they were as stout on defense, although they were still a fantastic team, obviously. Call him Winston because he can't help you. Looks like Lane Taylor keeps himself on the roster with his pay cut. Frank, undoubtedly. Although, I was just talking about a potential trade of Billy Turner. Don't rule out the possibility of a trade of Lane Taylor either. I do think it means he won't be cut. But I don't think if the possibility is completely out of the realm of possibility where a team, say, suffers an injury and or needs to upgrade their depth and or a possible starter along their offensive line, the Packers will get a call at some point this offseason, probably on pretty much anybody in regards to trying to find help along the interior. The Packers have a bit of a logjam there along their offensive line interior. So there's possible, you know, moves to be made, so to speak. I named a character in a game I play called Cool Daddy Breeze. Big Daddy Cool Breeze. Come on now. Hello from Alaska Nags. How's this off-season treating you? Well, it's been an off-season. You know, between the worldwide pandemic and burgeoning, simmering race relations, shutting down the country and then getting the country out, and riots and general unrest. Yeah, the off-season's been great. No, it's fine. It's fine. I get to talk Packers with you fine folks. Uh, John, hey, nice, just got here, but I have a question. How much voting clout do shareholders have? What do they actually vote on? Nothing. You have no say as a shareholder. You have a nice memento, Packers stock that you can put on your wall. But as for any actionable rights you have, other than being able to attend an owner's meeting, which this year I have to think is probably canceled, you don't get to vote on anything. David, it's absolutely insane how many running back contracts are up with Aaron Jones. Fournette, Dalvin, Mixon, Kamara, Hint, Connor, Cohen, Mack, Carson. It'll be interesting to see how those dominoes fall and where Aaron Jones aligns. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. Williams makes hay this year through the air. Most likely. I think all three backs will, including A.J. Dillon. I think the rookie has displayed the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. He wasn't asked to do a ton of it in college, but I think all those guys are going to have to be able to be productive. And I think that's what's going to get them more opportunities, especially Williams and Dillon. When is going to be the next Packer transplants? Luis, Wednesday, right here on the YouTube channel, 6 p.m. It's going to be a blast. Me and Corey, remote locations across New York City. Come one, come all. Talk some Packers. You guys hear from me every day. So really, you're just here to hear what Corey has to say about the offseason. Nagler, assuming fans are in stadiums this year, which games are you going to? Garrett, I probably won't be attending any games this year. I most likely will produce all of our content here in New York City. Corey and I have been talking a lot about this, and I will most likely be there for training camp, whatever that ends up being, however it ends up looking. But I think I'm probably going to produce everything here in New York. It just doesn't make sense. I know because of all the civil unrest going on in the country right now, a lot of people have kind of forgotten the fact that we are still in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, and that's not going away just because it's football season. And jumping on a plane every other week and flying back and forth between New York and Wisconsin, to Corey and I, you know, we talked about it, and I just don't think it makes a ton of sense or is very smart. You know, you never really know. You never really know. And I've got kids. I see them all the time. Last thing I would ever want to do is put them in harm's way. So I have, as I've told you guys, I've been sitting here in my apartment for the last 3 months. I go basically stay within a 3-block radius for the most part. And I just will probably continue to do that for the football season. So most likely won't be at any games this year. Now that could change. Who knows? There may be some kind of sponsorship deal come through, etc. Maybe I do have to make some appearances here and there, but most likely I'll just be here in New York. Trade Jones, they can't afford him. Oh, Gary. But you don't even know what he's asking for. You don't even know what they're talking about salary-wise. You don't even know how the market's going to shake out. Fans just want to play fantasy football, man. And by the way, he's also your best running back. Trade your best offensive player? Come on now. No. What will Lane Taylor's role be this year? Janelle, that's a very good question. I think he'll be in the mix during camp to compete for the right guard spot. And I think he's got more than a decent shot to win it. I think anybody who's followed me for any length of time knows I feel he's a better player than Billy Turner. I think if he is 100% healthy and can get back to his regular level of play of 2 years ago, I think he will definitely give Billy Turner a run for his money. Now, that said, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion, but given the pay cut that he has taken, I don't doubt for a second he would be kind of a luxury there along the interior as a backup. He could has shown that he can play pretty much anywhere along the line other than maybe center. But it's a nice fallback option to have. So unless somebody comes calling for, you know, they need help and they're offering a decent value pick in a trade, I think he'll has a good shot at being a starter, but if not, he'll be probably the first man up off the bench. When is the next transplant? So we miss Corey. Wednesday at 6 p.m. Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on the YouTube channel. Would Taylor get cut if not taking the pay cut? Why would a player take a pay cut? More often than not, they are asked to take pay cuts, and players know that if they refuse, they will get cut. that's not always the case. You know, Brian Bulaga reportedly refused to pay cut 2 years ago, and he obviously didn't get cut. But Brian Bulaga is one of the better right tackles in the game. Lane Taylor is not one of the best right guards and or interior linemen in the game. Lane probably, on the advice of his agent, figured, yes, he takes that pay cut, but he can earn that money back given how the incentives are structured. So he's betting on himself, essentially. And probably his agent said, at this point in the offseason, if he were to hit the market, he's probably not going to find a deal as good as that. We'll see how it plays out, but I think it's a smart move on his part. Frank, thanks for the super chat. Seems like Rodgers likes to pat the ball for too long rather than trusting the scheme and throwing to an open first or second read. Will this be corrected? Doubt it. It's sometimes pretty apparent on either game tape or coach's tape or broadcast tape. When you see that where he looks like at a receiver and he seems to be breaking open and he doesn't throw it in rhythm. But then there are other times, we don't know what he's looking at, what he's expecting guys to do. Maybe he's reading defenses differently than the guy that we think is the first read, etc. It's hard to say with any certainty if we don't know the play call, we don't know the adjustments at the line. Would I like to see him play in rhythm a little bit more? Absolutely. But, at this point, he is – X number of years into his career, it's not like he's just going to suddenly change how he plays the game. I do think they'll try to get him to be a little bit more efficient in the pocket. But, I don't expect him to magically change how he plays in any really meaningful, notable sense. Sean, thanks for the super chat. Lane Taylor is a better player than Turner and should start for the world record 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers. Sean, I very much agree. Weston, thanks for the super chat. Love will have a package like the Eagles' new QB. What will that look like? It was on Bleacher Report, too. Can't wait. Hear about it tomorrow. Weston, I'm really going to be surprised if that shakes out in any way, shape, or form. I asked Matt about it the day Love got drafted. I asked Nathaniel Hackett about it last week. God, it feels like a year ago. And both of them have indicated that, they haven't even looked at it. They haven't talked about it. It's possibility down the line, et cetera. And then, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, Mike Freeman at Bleacher Report has a report that he's going to be a major part of the offense or will have a package. Come on. I'm very much in wait-and-see mode. Now, maybe they do. Maybe they give him a Taysom Hill-type package and he comes on and they utilize him a little bit. That's why I asked the question, because I thought that might make sense, but I don't think they've drawn up any plans yet. Now, maybe they will. Eventually, but I think it's way too early to speculate about what they might be drawing up when they're probably in the middle of drawing it up. Frank, thanks for the super chat. Any rookie you like to challenge for the right guard spot? Yeah, Runyon could step in today, probably. I said that after he got drafted. I think he'll definitely be in the mix. We'll see. Maybe he outplays both of them and makes both of them expendable, but I think that's kind of a long shot. But I do think Runyon has the ability to do it. Jeremy, thanks for the super chat. Is it reasonable to see Jay Sternberger as a breakout candidate, and do you think he will be an upgrade over Graham? Yes and yes. He has the athleticism and suddenness that Graham lost a long time ago. Do I expect him to come in and be, prime Graham? No. But I do think he has all the upside. His ceiling is way high. And I do think he will give them a spark at that position that they've been missing for quite a long time. And it's hard to say how productive he will be given how you have to think they're going to try and spread the ball around. But I do think, yes, he will be an upgrade over what Jimmy Graham gave them, especially if for no other reason. Forget about the receiving ability, which I think he has, but the fact that he's a willing blocker. Now, Jimmy obviously took his lumps there. And it was never the greatest blocker, but I do think Jimmy worked at it while he was in Green Bay. But he was just never a very good blocker. And I think Jace was shockingly good last year, given that when he was in college, it was never really part of his game or something that you really talked about when it came to his game. But man, he really stepped up, meaning Jace. So yeah, I'm excited to see him get on the field and get a lot more opportunities because I think they do have a real weapon there. No doubt about it. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. If Irvin is just used as a returner, I'll be disappointed. Oh, I don't think there's any fear there. I think he'll be on the field from scrimmage. Maybe not a ton, but I do think they will utilize him on the offensive side of the ball. No doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. If all he does is return kicks, yeah, that'll be a disappointment. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you saw down the stretch last year how effective he was, how much he affected the offense. He affects what defenses can do adjustment-wise and or have to worry about, not just the jet motion stuff, but his ability as a receiver out of the backfield. And I thought he did a damn good job. Even the very limited number of carries he got, he did a good job of setting up his blocks, looked like a really patient runner, did a good job of getting skinny through the holes. So, yeah, I think they got something there. And I think it makes a lot more sense to get him on the field more than to take him off of it. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks to the super chat. I wouldn't exactly use Bleacher Report as a reputable source. Anyway, have a good day, Nags, and I'm looking forward to transplants. Salut, man. As am I. Go Pack Go. Go Pack Go. What's up, Tim? Go Pack Go. Not saying that he is a great player, but it seems that Jake Kumerow, if not in Green Bay, is a solidified role player in the run and a good special teamer. Dude's a road grader. Yeah, I mean, Spencer, I think that's what keeps him employed, especially in Green Bay, because he is so dominant as a blocker. I mean, I'm using the word dominant because you turn on the tape last year and that guy erases people. I mean, he takes on defensive ends. And I'm not saying he erases defensive ends, but he absolutely sticks his nose in there and gets the job done. Is he a world beater talent at, you know, the wide receiver position? No. But I do think, as you say, special teams, blocking in the run game, and hey, Rodgers loves the guy. That always helps. So, yeah, I think he's a really good role player for this team. No doubt about it. TCU player we signed in guard, is that guaranteed they will be on the team for 3 years? I'm excited for both players and the wide receiver. That's a lot of words that I'm not quite sure how they fit together, but I'm excited too, Weston. I'm right there with you, buddy. Have I met any Lombardi-era players? Yes, Travis. As a matter of fact, I met all of the guys who came back to celebrate the Ice Bowl a few years ago when I was working at the Green Bay Press Gazette. I did a series of videos that accompanied all the stuff that went into the paper. It was on their website, obviously. And I interviewed all of them. It was alumni weekend, and they all sat down. I got one-on-ones with each one of them. And before that, actually, Corey and I met Dave Robinson at Kettle of Fish here in New York City. He was promoting his book, and Corey and I were doing a live Packer transplants at the bar. I met Bart Starr a number of times growing up. Just classiest, greatest individual I probably ever met. He was incredible. When is Aunt Gert coming back to transplants? Soon, hopefully. We'll see. We do have a special guest on Wednesday, but it is not Aunt Gert. Yeah. Could you see a trade for Julian Edelman, like a fourth rounder like Gronk? No. This is not fantasy football. I very much take Brian Gutekunst at his word when he talks about how much he likes his wide receiving group. If they wanted to add to it, they would have drafted one. But I think they really like what they've got on hand. And hey, are there question marks after Davante Adams? Of course there are. But there is still a ton of upside there. And I think Alan Lazard, shockingly, to my eyes, is still really slept on by Packers fans, despite the real promise you saw down the stretch last year. I understand people like names. They got guys who they've seen produce in the league, et cetera. And that's why these kinds of questions get asked. And it's not a knock on you. It's a legit question. I totally get it. But, you know, just because we haven't seen them do it at that level for an elongated time doesn't mean they can't or won't. They're gonna sift through these guys. You got EQ coming back. You know, we talked about Kumerow, got Lazard. You've got the new weapons as far as Deguara, who will probably play all over the formation. Sternberger, he's considered a pass-catching weapon, you know. We just need to start having some of these guys start producing from their potential, because there's tons of potential there. And I know it's not fun to talk about in the middle of the offseason. You're missing football. You got to wait. I totally get it. But, you know, trading for Julian Edelman is not the missing ingredient for a championship. Now, Science Snacks Harrison might be, but I digress. Let's see what else we got here. Starting work late and caught the stream live. Hi from Australia. What's up? Salut. Carry the G down under. Thanks for joining us. Possible OTAs could start after July 4th, going right up to the start of training camp, the end of July. Yeah, I'm not even going to guess until we get any kind of communication from the Packers as far as scheduling goes. And trust me, I am, I and a lot of other people are obviously kind of caught now having to wait and see what the schedule is going to be for the offseason, not just for OTAs, but specifically for training camp, since Cheesehead TV, we do go every year, and I'm hoping to bring my kids for the week or for the month, a week during the month. But yeah, so until I get any kind of communication from the Packers, it's a day by day thing with the offseason. And Lord knows we're in such tumultuous, uncertain times that things change really quickly. Almost seems like it's day to day. So, well, when the Packers tell us what they're doing, that's when I'll start, making plans and talking about OTAs and camp. I love these. Ed West, Mark Chmura, or Tim Harris? Rank the three. I'll go Toolbox, Chmura, and Harris. How's that? Is Irvin a running back or a wide receiver? Is he being overlooked or is Day's number with Dylan on board? He's definitely a running back. I don't think it's a question of him being – isn't Day's being numbered with Dylan on board. I think he's a very different type of player. You just suggested he could be a wide receiver. He's not categorized as such, and I don't think they view him that way. But he can do a lot of different things. And I think he's very, very different than Dylan. So are his days numbered because of Dylan? No. The only way his days are numbered is if he doesn't produce and or makes mistakes. And I don't see that happen. I think the only thing that's really kept him down so far in his career is injury. If he had stayed healthy, I don't think he'd ever have even been available to the Packers. But hopefully those are behind him, because I really like his potential and his upside in Green Bay. I'll take one more. Who was the one veteran rumored to come to Green Bay in recent past that you were surprised didn't come to the Packers, i.e. Randy Moss, Mack, Warren Sapp, etc.? Warren Sapp was rumored to come to Green Bay. I don't remember that one. I was a little surprised that the Randy Moss thing never happened, just because it was so evident and so obvious how much Brett Favre wanted that to happen. And, Ted came close. But then he had that fateful call with Randy where he talked about how you come in here, you're a team player, Donald's the number one, blah, blah, blah. And that all ended. So, yeah, I was surprised at that. And that was really the beginning of the end, too, because that's when Favre threw his little mini hissy fit and demanded a trade, etc., which few people remember. But, yeah, after that, after he failed to make the Randy Moss move, Favre demanded, quote-unquote, a trade, which then got walked back. But that's the one that surprised me. The Mac thing, it surprised me that they were even discussing it. I remember hearing the rumors start, and I thought, no way Brian's going to throw two first-round picks at this, blah, blah, blah. But then they were legit in the mix. Obviously, it came down to either them or the Bears. So, and it sure sounds like guys like Davante Adams, etc., they were a little surprised, too, that it didn't happen. But, yeah, to me, it's probably the Randy Moss move. Nick, we'll end it with your comment because you're very generous. I'll say it to the end of time. Best Packer content out there. Like, share, subscribe. GZ TV. Thank you very much. And yes, please hit like, hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your family. GZ TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. I'll be having a Zoom happy hour tomorrow night. If you're a Patreon member, please hit up the Patreon page. The info will be there. Otherwise, I'll see you guys on Transplants Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Thanks a lot, everyone. Go Pack, go.